Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, welcome. This is Saturday. Welcome everybody out there. I'm so excited and and grateful. Why am I grateful? Grateful for a lot of things, but before I really get into that, thank you for being on the call today. And the operative or the show today, and the operative word here is wiser living. Wiser living. Wow, when I think of wiser living, I think of so many positive aspects of that and the education that's necessary and all the information that's out there and just trying to pick through all of the good stuff and discarding all of the crazy stuff, especially on the internet and what we read today. So to help you with that, I personally would like you to go to wiserliving.com, W-E-I-S-E-R, living.com. Please go there. And sign up for the newsletter in the upper right-hand corner of the wiserliving.com website. You can click on Wiser Living TV, and it'll take you to a page, a YouTube page, where you can subscribe. And by subscribing, you will not only have access to the current educational videos that are posted there, but you will also be informed when a new video is uploaded. So please go to Wiser Living TV and subscribe there. Please like us on Facebook. You know, Facebook keeps changing their rules around just trying to get a hold of you guys to let you know that there's going to be a program like this. So please like us on Facebook and subscribe. You go to wiserliving.com and get your free ebook as well. You can click on that. So wiserliving.com, subscribe. Wiser Living TV, subscribe. Wiser Living Radio, which you're on right now, subscribe. And or I think you click on follow. And facebook.com/wiserliving, wiserliving.com. So you want to like that one, L-I-K-E. So with that, we've got some of the business out of the way. And I would like to, you know, this is Dr. Budweiser. I guess I should say my name, right? This is Dr. Budweiser, and I am coming to you directly from the Wiser Living headquarters. I'm excited. I would like to welcome each and every one of you, as I always do each week. Why? Because you've taken your time out to tune in to this broadcast today. You know, your time is valuable, and I'm truly grateful for you for your participation here. So over the next 27 minutes, I want to add to your wellness experience. Wow. You know, the human body is composed predominantly of water. You know, blood is approximately 92% water, our muscles approximately 75% water, and our bones, as solid as they are approximately 22% water. So proper hydration is critical to every system of the human body, and most of you know that. You know, water is used to what? It facilitates chemical action, for cleansing, to aid digestion, for lubrication of your joints, and even to transport oxygen to your cells. It also supports a proper lung function and cellular regeneration. Now, the latest scientific research concerning the condition of our water supply is not very encouraging, to say the least, because even with the best water filtration methods available on the market today, there are still chemicals. There are still pharmaceutical drugs that cannot be filtered out. But clean filtered water or spring water is extremely vital to the overall support of the human body. You know, back in 1999, the U.S. Center for Disease Control, or the CDC, they released a report about the fluoridation of public water supplies. And in that report, they said it was basically a good and healthy idea to fluoridate the water. And it was one of the century's greatest public health successes. But in that same report, they suggested that the ingestion of fluoride may not be beneficial. In the same report, it was good and it's not good. You know, the obvious question here is, how can the CDC consider that the addition of fluoride to the public water supply to be a basic public health success, while admitting at the same time that fluoride's benefits are not systemic In other words, fluoride benefits are not obtained from drinking it. The sad truth is it's now becoming painfully evident that fluoridation and the benefit of fluoride as a way of preventing at least tooth decay is probably the greatest scientific deception ever perpetrated on the United States, just in this country. Even worse than that, the relentless promotion of fluoride as a dental benefit is responsible for scientists not properly assessing its toxicity. This has become a major concern for several countries on this planet because there is no substance to date. I need to qualify that. There's no substance to date that is as biochemically active in the human body as fluoride. I mean, the excessive total intake of fluoride compounds might be contributing to many diseases that we are currently dealing with, particularly those involving thyroid dysfunction. So what is fluoride? Well, fluoride is a pale, yellow, highly toxic, and corrosive gas. For you science thinkers out there. You know, in nature, fluorine, you notice I'm saying fluorine and not fluoride, fluorine is found combined with minerals as fluorides. It is the most chemically active non-metallic element of all the elements and has the most reactive electronegative ion. And I'll explain this a little bit. I'm not going to go too sciencey on you. And it is because of this extreme reactivity that fluorine is never found in nature as an uncombined element. In nature, fluorine is always combined with something else. It's always combined with something else in order to keep it tamed or less reactive. You know, fluorine compounds or fluorides are listed by the United States Agency of Toxic Substances and Disease Registry, or the ATSDR, as among the top 20 of 275 substances that pose the most significant threat to human health. Now, before the push for fluoridation actually began, the dental profession recognized that fluorides were not beneficial to dental health. They found that fluorides were detrimental to dental health. And that's way back in 1944. So this didn't just start, just a few years ago. That's 61 years ago. So 61 years ago, the Journal of the American Dental Association said that, and I'm quoting this, with 1.6 to 4 parts per million fluoride in the water, parts per million, 50% or more past the age 24 have false teeth because of fluoride damage to their own. Consuming fluoride, false teeth. And then we're talking 1.6 to 4 parts per million. So keep that, kind of write that down somewhere because you're going to hear this this compare and contrast as I go forward. 50% false teeth. So currently, 8 out of 10 children, 8 out of 10, 80% suffer from some degree of dental fluorosis. Fluorosis, that's defined, when I looked that up, that's defined as a chronic condition caused by excessive intake of fluoride compounds. And it manifests as mottling of the teeth, and if severe, calcification of the ligament. A lot of athletes in great shape, making big money, have their tear ligaments. Well, fluoride might have something to do with that. And because remember, fluoride accumulates in the tissues of the body. It's bioaccumulative. So when looking through the internet, you can find all kinds of sites that promote fluoride as a wonder nutrient. They say that without fluoride, dental caries increases. Think about that for a moment. How does a toxin that accumulates in the body and a waste product be described as a nutrient? But proponents of fluoride, they say that fluoride occurs naturally and helps to develop and maintain strong bones and teeth, even though fluorine, which is the toxic substance that fluoride is derived from, builds up in the body, causing irreparable harm to the immune system. And we all know how important the immune system is to our overall daily health. And I want to say here before going on that a popular slogan, at least I remember it, I guess I'm dating myself a little bit here, a popular slogan employed by the American Dental Association and the pro-fluoridation organizations is that nature thought of it first. Now, this slogan creates the impression that the fluoridation compounds used in water fluoridation are the same as those discovered many years ago in the water in some areas of the United States. The fluoride compound in naturally fluoridated water is in the form of calcium fluoride. What is put in our water supply is sodium fluoride, which dissolves easily in water. Calcium fluoride does not. Sodium fluoride does. Calcium fluoride does not. You know, animal studies performed back in 1935 revealed that sodium fluoride was much more toxic than calcium fluoride. Even worse, this toxicity was listed as a hydrofluorosilicic acid. And this is the compound that is now used in over 90% of the fluoridation program. We're not even using fluoride. We're using some offshoot of it. It is well established that it is the total fluoride intake from all sources that must be considered any health effect evaluation. So if you're going to evaluate fluoride, you've got to not just take fluoride just in the water. I mean, this would include fluoride intake by ingestion, inhalation, and absorption through the skin. Exposure to airborne fluoride from manufacturing processes, from the application of pesticides, from the production of fertilizers, from the aluminum smelting, coal burning and nuclear power plants, incinerators, glass etching, and from petroleum refining and vehicle emissions. All of these have to be considered substantial because they're considerable. It's not minute. Plus, many people consume fluorine-based medications such as Prozac, which adds greatly to fluoride's anti-thyroid effects. As a matter of fact, all fluoride compounds, organic and inorganic, have been shown to exert anti-thyroid effects. I know some of you are saying, well, I don't take Prozac. Yeah, but you breathe it in. Any cars passing up and down the street in front of you? Do you go out? Do you drive on freeways? Is your window cracked? It's even in your home. You're breathing it. You take a shower. You know, household exposures to fluoride can occur with the use of nonstick or Teflon pots and pans, fluorine-based products like toothpaste or insecticide sprays, as well as residual airborne fluoride from fluoridated drinking water. So say you go to a fountain and you know, the water's, you know, or you go, like here in Las Vegas, you can go to the strip and they have these water shows. Fluoride. You're sitting there going, wow, it's beautiful. And every time you inhale, you're taking in some fluoride. You know, the decision makers at the 3M Corporation. Have any of you guys heard of 3M? Well, 3M, you know, they make tape, like Scotch tape. You know, they started phasing out some of the Scotchgard products, or at least they announced it, even though they still sell it presently. Because I went online to check it out, and they still have a lot of Scotchgard products. You know, anyway, they found that that products primarily, their primary ingredient is a fluorinated compound called perfluorooctanol sulfonate, or PFOS, which was found in all tested blood bank examinations. These are people that are giving blood. It's there. 3M's research showed that the substance had strong tendencies to persist and accumulate in animal and human tissue. In 1991, The U.S. Public Health Service, they issued a report stating that the range and total daily fluoride intake from water, from dental products, from beverages, and from food items exceeded 6.5 milligrams daily. Remember, one part per million in drinking water, which equals to about 1 milligram a day, assuming you only drink 4 glasses of water. You only need 1 milligram, and from these products, you're getting, it's exceeding 6.5 milligrams per day. So the total intake of 6.5 milligrams daily from those sources alone already exceeds the level known to cause the third stage of skeletal fluorosis. Remember, I mentioned model teeth, fluorosis, model teeth, and ligaments cracking. So besides fluoridated water and toothpaste, many foods contain high levels of fluoride compounds due to the application of pesticides. But one of the worst offenders is grapes. You know, grape juice was found to contain more than 6.8 parts per million of fluoride. The Environmental Protection Agency estimates total fluoride intake from pesticide residues on food and fluoridated drinking water alone to be around 6.6 milligrams per day. You know anybody have kids or infants, just had a baby, or they're getting government assistance to get the formula, or you're just buying formula? Soy infant formula is high in both fluoride and aluminum, far surpassing the optimal dose, and has been shown, it's been shown to be a risk factor in dental fluorosis. So in their drive to fluoridate public water supplies, dental health officials, they continue to pretend that no other sources of fluoride actually exist. You know, this notion falls on its proverbial face when you look at the fluoride content in tea. Tea is very high in fluoride because tea leaves accumulate more fluoride from soil pollution and air pollution than any other edible plant, period. I mean, it's well established that fluoride in tea gets absorbed by the body in a manner similar to the fluoride in drinking water. You know, fluoride content in tea has risen dramatically over the past 2 decades due to to industry contamination. You know, recent analysis has recorded or revealed that fluoride content in tea bags is 17.25 milligrams per tea bag, or basically a cup of black tea. So you're drinking some black tea, one cup, 17.25 milligrams. Way over the 6, that's way over the 1 milligram a day that you, that's a limit. And if I take green tea is even higher. 22 milligrams per tea bag. You know, the aluminum content was also high, over 8 milligrams. You know, you notice I'm mentioning aluminum a little bit, and I know this is about fluoride, but hold on a minute. You know, normal steeping time is 5 minutes, yes? The longer a tea bag steeps, the more fluoride and aluminum is released. After 10 minutes, the measurable amounts of fluoride and aluminum almost double. There's a website by pro fluoridation people. They, when it comes to infant, or I guess it's called pro fluoridation infant medical group. They state that a cup of black tea contains 7.8 milligrams of fluoride, which is the equivalent amount of fluoride from 7.8 liters or 2 gallons of water. And this is in an area fluoridated by one part per million. You know, some British and African studies from the 1900s showed a daily fluoride intake between 5.8 milligrams and 9 milligrams a day from tea alone. You know, tea has been found to be a primary cause of dental fluorosis in many international studies. So this is not somebody just writing a paper and throwing it on the internet. This has been out for like before there was an internet. In Britain, Over three-quarters of the population over the age of 10 years consumes three cups of tea a day, because I know we have some I have some British friends on some Brits on the call, on the program today. You know, in Ireland, the average tea consumption is four cups per day because it's cold, right? You know, from what I understand, there are a few places in England where fluoride is added to the water. It happens principally around Birmingham and eastern England. And for your information, this is for my British friends out there, eastern England and Birmingham. Now, next to water, tea is the most widely consumed beverage in the world. And I know some coffee people out there are going to say they're not going to agree with that. You know, tea can be found in almost 80% of all U.S. households on any given day. Nearly 127 million people drink tea just in the U.S. The high content of both aluminum and fluoride in tea is cause for great concern, as aluminum increases, it increases fluoride's effect on a activator called G-protein. So G-protein, they are the on-off switches involved in cellular communication, and they are of absolute necessity in thyroid hormone function and regulation. So your thyroid has to be happening if you want to have energy, if you want to maintain your, if the body, not you, but if the body wants to maintain its normal weight based on your skeletal structure, not based on the weight you want to be. Your skeleton, your body knows how much weight you should be at based on your skeleton. Isn't that amazing? No, you don't have to get on the body says, you don't have to get on the scale. We already know how much you need to weigh. Now, the recent discovery, or I should say, the recent rediscovery of hundreds of papers dealing with the use of fluoride in effective thyroid medication poses many questions, which I would hope would start a demand for answers. I mean, the enamel effects observed in hypothyroidism is identical to dental fluorosis. Endemic fluorosis areas have been shown to be the same as those affected with iodine deficiency, which is considered to be the world's single most important and preventable cause of mental retardation, which affects how many? 740 million people a year worldwide. Iodine deficiency causes brain disorders, causes cretinism, which is stunted physical and mental growth, miscarriages, goiter. There's a lot of other diseases. Not just this, that's just a short list. The medication Synthroid, which is most commonly prescribed for hypothyroidism, is one of the top-selling drugs here in the U.S., indicated that hypothyroidism is a major health problem. And that is not, that's not including the millions that are thought to have undiagnosed thyroid problems. So what are some of the symptoms? Well, let me give you some of the symptoms of fluoride poisoning. Black tarry stools, bloody vomit, faintness, nausea and vomiting, shallow breathing, stomach cramps and stomach pain, tremors, unusual excitement, unusual increase in saliva, watery eyes, weakness, constipation, loss of appetite, pain and aching of the bones, skin rashes, sores in the mouth and on the lips, stiffness, weight loss, white, brown, or black discoloration of the, you know, some long-term effects of fluoride are accelerated aging, immune system dysfunction, compromised collagen synthesis. Now, collagen, I know a lot of women out there, they think about collagen, they think about wrinkles and things like that, but collagen is the most abundant protein in the human body. I mean, it's regarded as the substance that holds the whole body together, and it can be found in the bones, the muscle, the tendons, as well as the skin. Some other long-term effects are cartilage problems, bony outgrowths in the spine, and your joints locking up. Not only that, learning disorders, as a Harvard University researcher recently discovered, headaches and migraines. I know people that are, they've been to many doctors for the headaches and migraines, and they still can't figure out what's going on. You know, earlier I mentioned G-proteins. You know, G-proteins mediate the actions of neurotransmitters or nerve transmitters, you know, peptide hormones, and light. In other words, G-proteins make it possible for our nervous systems to function properly, and in particular, it allows for night vision and the sense of smell. Now, when we look at the thyroid, all thyroid function is mediated by G-protein activity. And so the reason for mentioning this is that both aluminum and fluoride interfere with the activation of these G-proteins. Thyrotropin. Thyrotropin, that's the TSH or the thyroid-stimulating hormone, is considered the natural G-protein activator. That's why I'm mentioning all this G-protein thing. Its action is mimicked by fluoride, and its power vastly increased by the presence of aluminum. You know, pharmacologists estimate that up to 60% of all medications used today, 60%, exert their effects through G-protein signaling pathways. Vitamin A from cod liver oil has been used successfully to bypass blocked G-protein pathways. And it's hard to find good, clean, you know, cod liver oil supplement. And it does this due to, well, let me say this about vitamin A. And say cod liver oil. They've been using cod liver oil to bypass the blocked G protein pathways, but the fact that it's blocked is due to vaccination damage. So I know I'm stepping on toes here now. Vaccinations. You know, saturated fatty acids are important in G protein function. So diets deficient in vitamin A and good saturated fats can be expected to contribute to nervous disorders and vision problems. You know, removing fluoride from your water supply can be challenging. You know, reverse osmosis is pretty successful at removing fluoride. There's other filters, but it's hard to find. I mean, we've seen some filters that remove just about everything, but, you know, fluoride is missing from the fluoride. You know, removing fluoride is missing from that. So at the very least, get a high-quality water filter. You know, the fluoride action network has reported on a study which found that fluoride is linked to lower IQ. Now, they said that 34 studies actually now link fluoride to learning and memory impairment, fetal brain damage, and altered neurobehavioral function. If you want a healthy body, you got to eat fluoride. You know, 100 years ago, it was found and documented that native tribes who ate traditional diets had nearly perfect teeth and were almost 100% free of tooth decay, and they did not have toothbrushes, they didn't have floss, they didn't have toothpaste or root canals and fillings. But when these same tribal people were introduced to sugar and white flour, guess what happened? Their health and their perfect teeth rapidly deteriorated. So by avoiding refined sugar, processed foods, you prevent the proliferation of the bacteria that causes decay in the first place. As you can see, fluoride is not a nutrient. It's not essential. It's not necessary, meaning you don't need to add it or supplement with it. It's not necessary, meaning it's not a building block for health. So you don't need to add it. If fluoride can increase autism, ADHD, because it can injure the developing brain because they are neurotoxins. It's the leading poison today. It's like lead in the 70s. It's like a lead in the paint and fuel in the 70s. So, get a filter, get your health right, supplement properly, and let your food be your medicine, and let your medicine be. This is Dr. B. This is Dr. Budweiser. We'll see you next time.